Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is George Gamond, and hopefully we're not having a volume problem as we've had in the past. I think I need to buy a new mic. If you can hear me, let me know. If not, I will log off and log back on, and it seems to kill the or fix the problem or end the problem, whatever. So if you can hear me, let me know. If you can't hear me, I will log off. So I got a caller on hold. And now if you'll stay there, I am going to log off anyway. Okay, cool. Then you can hear me. I don't know what the problem has been, but I am buying a new headset thing because I think it will work better than what I have going on. So let's get into the idea of what I'm going to talk about today. And what brought this all about is, as some of you who regularly listen to the show, I'm usually on a bit earlier in the day, 11 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, which is like, what, hours ago? And it's now 2 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, so it's a little changed out. So I thought about change, the word change. And you have to adapt. You have to be adaptable. And as I wrote, let me read this that I wrote in Facebook this morning about change, and we'll get into it. And then I got some articles on change. Mostly the articles I seem to be finding are all about relationships and changes as in relationships and adjusting to changes in relationships. So, as I wrote on Facebook this morning to my friends who looked it up and read it, and I got a few comments, which is cool, change is inevitable. We can be victims of change or creators of change. Be co-creators of change. Visualize the change you want. Let God do the how and when part. So that was my thoughts on change. So, and I agree with that a whole lot. I mean, I wouldn't have written it if I didn't agree with it, right? No, so it's about change. So we're going to talk about change. I had to adapt today. I had the plumber coming in to make some changes, and the plumber was supposed to be here about the time I was supposed to do the radio show this morning, and I still knew with my dog being around and the plumber, it would be very disruptive to try to do the show, so that's why I changed it to the afternoon. But I might stay with the afternoons. Now, I might be getting a whole different audience that I never talked to before. So this show is really about self-help. You know, I'm a channel, I'm an empath, but I've changed the dynamics of the show to more about what your soul wants you to do to make the changes that you need to make to be who you want to be. Okay? It's not about predictions about the future, stuff that's your big concern of what's going to happen to me. Am I ever going to meet somebody? Yeah, you will. Of course you will. That's the change. If you want the change, you can have it. Because as I said, be a co-creator with God. And I have a meditation I want to do. So let me take a call, somebody who called in, and then we'll get into some articles. I do have a meditation about change, and I think it would be good to do that meditation today. It's about changing what you want and what you're looking for and how to co-create. Okay, so I think I do. I had one. I may have gone away. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, and who am I speaking to?
This is Siri.
Siri?
Yeah.
Oh, how are you today? You sound
somebody
else. You sound like another listener, so... You sound like a Holly, but you're not.
No, not Holly.
So what's going on today on this beautiful, what is today? Today's Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah.
You lose track of time. Don't retire. Semi-retire, whatever it is, right? Okay, so what's going on with Siri? Now, when you use the word Siri, I had a really good friend and a roommate named Siri who moved to Hawaii, and I don't know where she went. I see her every once in a while on the internet, but I haven't seen her in a long time. So when you said the word Siri, I reflected back to my friend. That's why I kind of got started. Okay?
Yeah.
But you're not the same person, or you would have said something by now. Remember when John and I... Yeah, okay, whatever, right? So what's going on?
Speaking of change, I've been trying to make some changes myself this year, and I don't know, it's just making me incredibly... I don't know, it's sad and not, you know, when you want to make changes but you're not exactly sure how or what or when or anything, so.
Well, let me go back to my quote. and I stated this morning, and I'm a big law of attraction person, and that's one of the reasons I got away from the typical prediction stuff, is because I believe we do make our own changes. We can co-create changes to the universe or God. So, yes, you can make changes. And the how part, and I've been, like, believing this and disbelieving and believing and disbelieving for over 30 years, the idea that all we have to do is turn it over, that we just have to enjoy life and turn it over. So where do you want to make changes in your life? What's the most important change you want to make?
I would like to change my career. I would like to have a relationship at some point.
Oh boy, you got the dynamic duo, right? Dynamic duo, right there. Those are the two biggest things, right? Yeah. So, I have a really good article about that I was going to cover about relationships. About I'm still single. Why? It was from BeliefNet. Now, I have BeliefNet.com, and some really interesting points on that. So I won't get into too much on that. If you want to listen to that article about why people are still single, And it gets into expectations, and it gets into time. Okay, I'll give you an example of what I mean by that, okay? I've been dating and off and on, and I've been on dating sites and all that craziness, right? Yeah, so I've done this, all this routine, and I meet people who aren't being honest with me. Right. And what I mean by that, and I'm not saying you, but and men do the same thing. So you have to be kind of like, look at people, honest in the sense of time. They say they want a date, okay, but they're never available to date. Does that make sense? They're never. They're too busy. Yeah, so either they're really, really, really busy and they have no time, so why are you on a dating site? Why are you going and pursuing a date, right? Or you're just not interested in that person, so be honest. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Put somebody off? You know, I'm busy, I got this going on, got that, I'm going on, I got the grandchildren still going to school, I'm studying this, I'm studying that, I'm working, I got all these things going on. Oh, can you wait? And they're really, really busy, so they got to figure out maybe that having a date is really important to them, or they got to tell that person, you know what, just let it go, because I just don't feel the energy here, I don't feel the connection, right? That's a tough one, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I go back to what I'm saying is, visualize what you want in a relationship. Okay?
Yeah.
And be realistic about it. What do you really want? You know, and I read these things about what women want, and they have created Superman. You know, they've created the ideal man. And it's like, come on, realistically, men aren't perfect. We're kind of dumb in some ways, right? You have to kind of figure out what are the three most important things you want in a man.
You're asking?
What are the three most important things you want in a man?
Good, kind, loving, stable.
Okay, what do you mean by stable?
Mentally and financially would be nice.
Okay. So... yeah, those are very typical. I mean, that kindness. How about let me phrase it this way, and then let me put it this way: somebody who really respects you as a person. Okay.
Yeah.
A good person, just a good person who respects you a lot.
Right.
And that really sums all that up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
A man who is dedicated or dedicated to being part, I don't know how to put this, it's words, and it seems to not mean a lot to some people, but it's like financially, you know, a lot of people have gone through really difficult financial times, right?
Right.
So being financially secure might be that they're on the track, they're on a place, and they want to be in a good place financially, or at least contribute. They're not a dead, okay?
Right.
You don't want to mooch.
Exactly.
So let me give you the other words you're looking for. A person who's responsible about their financial affairs.
Right.
It doesn't mean they have $1 million, or it doesn't even mean they can have a job. You know, I had a client for years and years who wanted, this is a really funny story, you might bear with me for a minute. she was kind of a glamour kind of queen in some way. And she was all dressed really nice because they were in, you know, not just on the phone. She wanted a man who was really financially secure. I mean, not a lot of money. We're talking about money. She wanted to live really and have this man who had a lot of money. And so she started dating, like, these producers and these executives, okay, and had their own businesses mm-hmm. and kind of successful. But she got really frustrated because they didn't have time for her.
mm-hmm.
They never had time for her. They were always too busy with their businesses making money, and they never had time to date or to go away. Mm-hmm. She liked to go away on the weekends. And they, no, I got to work Saturday. Oh, I got this going on, you know. So she ended up meeting a man she fell in love with who really didn't have two nickels. But he had a good heart, and he was a good Christian, and he was really working hard to get himself back together. And he was really diligent about making their relationship work and financially getting back into a better place. And I really believe in men, and I know I'm preachy a little bit here, and I don't mean to be too preachy, but, and I guess I do, but that his intent was to have a muse in his life who would inspire him to greatness. Done. Mm-hmm. That's what most men want. Most men want a good woman by their side to inspire them to do it. Because men alone, and I know this one, single men sometimes aren't as motivated as men who have a good partner. Does that make sense?
Yes, I can see that.
So don't always look at the bank account. Look at the heart. Okay? So you're asking God for a man with a good heart and good intentions who is responsible. And I would say to you, that's probably what you want to focus on.
Right.
Now, some women will say, well, he has to be between 5'11 and a half and 6'2". And no, I'm serious. I see this. I look at these profiles. So he has to be between, you know, 5'8 or 5'10 and a half and 6'2". And he has to have a Mercedes. Well, they don't say that, but you know what I mean. That's good for them, you know. I hope you get it, and I hope he has time for you. So you'll get it, dear. Just identify what you want, put it out to the universe, and go have fun. Now, what's the job thing? What's your problem with the job?
I don't exactly know what I want to do. I just know I want to change, and I have to change.
Well, okay. There's your problem. Let's get back to the problem here. Ideally, if money wasn't an issue, let's say you had money in the bank, but you had to do something. You had enough money to live on, and you had money in the bank, what would you want to do?
I know. I've been asked that before, and I still don't know the answer to that either. So,
Then maybe step one in the job thing is to figure out okay, let me ask you another question. Now, you probably heard these questions, but you got to really think about these. As a kid, what did you like to do? What was your fun things? What did you like to do as a child?
I don't remember. Honestly, I don't.
Okay, I'll give you another way of doing this. Because you get it. Obviously, there are a lot of people that have a lot of jobs around you that you see people do things every day, right?
Right.
In person or on the internet or watching a TV show and you see this people doing a certain job. Certain jobs you're going to go, yeah, that looks like it'll be fun. I kind of identify with that. So, here's your challenge, okay? When you see people do certain jobs, don't start judging them right away. Oh, I can never do that, or you know, because it's really categories more than it is a specific job yet. So look at it and go, yeah, I'd like to do that, right? Well, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say you see a doctor and you go, wow, I love the way doctors work with patients. I'd love to be a doctor. Well, you may not become a doctor, but maybe you want to be in the healthcare industry because you want to help people in some way in the medical field, somehow, some way. Even if it's working at a medical clinic as a whatever, right, receptionist or whatever it is. So you look at it and go, yeah, something about the medical industry really, it really, I'm not saying this is it for you, but don't get like, oh, I can't never do that. Or I like the law. Ooh, I love to watch lawyer shows. You know, I love to watch, you know, Law and Order. Or I love to watch police shows. But then you start writing these things down and you start looking at it. Well, how can I get in that field with the education and the background I have? Or how can I stretch myself with a little bit of education and get in that field? Okay?
Okay.
So it's a matter of observation for you to look at the world around you and say, yeah, I'd like to do that. That would be fun, I think. Maybe you want to work with animals, you know. But, you know, I love animals, but I couldn't work as a vet in a veterinarian clinic because I couldn't watch animals suffer personally. I'm an empath, but I couldn't see that. I couldn't do that. There's no way I could see sick animals all day long. That would just freak me out.
Well,
personally, I can't even watch I can't even watch movies where animals are in peril. I watch people be in peril all day long. I don't care if people, animals are more important. But you know, to watch an animal suffer, that's my ugh. So. You gotta think about things that you love to do. You'll narrow it down here. You really will. You just have to be observant and start writing this stuff down. You got it?
Yep.
So what were you doing in the past? What are you doing now? And spend a lot of
I'm
time
an office manager. Yeah, I'm an office manager now.
Okay, what don't you like?
Well, the office is closing, so I mean, I don't have a choice but to.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Is it the job or is it the people in the environment you're in? For everybody.
It's kind of the environment. I mean,
Okay. So do you like the process? Let's say in a perfect environment, let's say you were working for a company that you love the industry, okay? Whatever that industry is. Like, you figure out what industry you like. And can you take that skill that you use now and apply it to a different situation?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because you don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel to be successful. You have to take what you've learned and your skills and your abilities and maybe put them somewhere else where you can be used and appreciated because you don't feel appreciated, right?
Right.
Okay. So I wouldn't say you have to change your methodology or experience. You'd have to go back to school for the next 6 years to do something. You just need to change environment, right?
Right.
So find an environment you'd love to be in, like doctor's office, lawyer's office, construction industry, something that you'd love to be in, you find exciting. You know, maybe it's the healthcare industry, or maybe it's a maybe it's a holistic field, maybe it's working for a chiropractor. I don't know. It's where you could use your skills in an industry you're all excited about.
Okay.
And as you observe people and the jobs they do, you go, I would might be in that field. That sounds like fun to be in that field, right?
Okay.
Because I've known people in the entertainment, because I live near Hollywood, L.A., and I've known people who love the entertainment industry, right? But they become secretaries because they love the entertainment industry, right? Or the record industry. They don't necessarily have to be a star, but you can be a supporting cast player in something that you love to be. Got it?
Got it.
I don't think you need to change in just jobs. I mean, career in the sense of what you do. I think you have to change where you do it at and find some place where you feel that you're appreciated. I mean, that's a lot easier. Because your skill set, you can take your skill set a lot of places.
Okay.
Right? Got it? So do it. Go for
it. I got it.
Go for it. Make a list of places, the kind of places you'd want to work, the industry you'd like to work in, and go for it. Because you're adaptable. Okay?
Okay.
Got it. Okay. And make a new list for God about the man you want.
Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, I find that true about a lot of people. I'm doing psychic work for a long time and talking to people and doing the metaphysical stuff and the hypnotherapy and all these things. And that's the one question I always try to ask people is it really what you do for work, the kind of job you work, or is it the environment that you're in? It usually is the environment. It's not what I do every day. You know, and whatever it is, it's about, I don't like here because of this or that or whatever. So change is, sometimes we can create change. So in that kind of case, okay, you can say to God, the universe, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to use my talents and my abilities fully and completely because I've developed these talents over years and years and these, you know, gifts, and I know I can do this really well. Help me to find a place where I can be appreciated. and I'll turn it over to you, God. Show me a place where I can be appreciated with my gifts and talents. Simple, right? And it's easy. And you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. Okay, so I'm going to get into some articles. Let's do a little meditation. Maybe I'll let Spirit lead you a little bit on this. A little meditation on how to create these things, how to put it out there and visualize what you want. So it's an effective way of doing it. So, and I do this a lot with people. And what I want you to do is just kind of relax for a moment if you're listening, or you can listen later on, or those who listen to the show a little bit later. Just relax a little bit. Just kind of get comfortable in your chair. You're not in a particular position. Take a deep breath in. Just take a really deep breath in. And then do a purging breath out. Just blow it out. You can keep your eyes open or closed. If you're driving, keep your eyes open, please. Take another deep breath in. And then purge it out. Okay, with the next breath I want you to take in, I want you to feel taking in into your heart center, into your love center. Just feel a feeling of love, serenity, and peace. Just allow that energy to come into you. Just love, energy, and peace, and serenity. Just feel that energy. And then on the exhale of that, just let go of any negative emotions that you might have. Any negative thoughts, any negative emotions, just tell yourself, I'm letting go of those. I'm releasing those energies. I'm releasing any negative thoughts, negative emotions. So I'm going to breathe in love, serenity, and peace. I'm going to exhale any negative emotions and negative thoughts. And then when you start to feel your body begin to relax, the stress beginning to release, any anxiety that you're carrying with you to begin to release, feeling more and more comfortable, then put yourself in a bit quiet, peaceful place. Your happy place, whether it's sitting at the beach somewhere, sitting in a lounge chair outside under the stars, wherever it is that you feel really relaxed, visualize yourself in those places. Just breathe deep, relax, put yourself in this really peaceful state, this peaceful place. And then now start to visualize what you want in life, the changes you want to make. If it's a job, visualize yourself in the kind of job you want to be in and the kind of environment that you want to be in. If you're going to use the same skills and abilities, visualize yourself in kind of an office or a place or the business that you want to be in where you feel really relaxed, you feel comfortable, you feel appreciated, people are congratulating you for the great job you're doing, for whatever job you're doing. And just feel like this and just visualize it and just say, okay, God, this is the kind of environment that I want to be in. This is the kind of work I want to be doing. I can see it. I can feel it. Bring it to me, please. Okay? Now, if you're wanting a relationship in your life and wanting to feel this beautiful relationship, just visualize yourself in that really quiet, beautiful place. Visualize your partner here. Don't put a picture on what it's supposed to look like, he or she. Just visualize yourself in a warm, loving environment with somebody. You're holding hands. You're sharing moments together. You're laughing together. It just feels like a beautiful place to be in with somebody. And say, God, this is what I want in a relationship. This feels really good. I want the love that's flowing back and forth. And just hold that feeling, hold that emotion for a few minutes or seconds or how long you want to do that. And then practice this meditation. Just getting yourself, first of all, you have to bring in that warm, loving energy, serenity and peace. Your whole body begins to relax, feel peaceful. All the stress and anxiety is dissipating. And you're releasing all those negative thoughts and negative emotions. So you're raising your consciousness to a higher state. And in this higher state of consciousness, you're visualizing what you want. And you're asking the universe, please bring me these things. This is what I want. This is the environment I want to be in, either work or in a relationship or moving. This is the house I visualize myself living in. It feels peaceful. It feels like it's beautiful air about it, the windows. I just love this environment. Just so exciting. And so when you're ready, open your eyes, come out of that state, and practice that. If you're wanting something in your life, practice that. Practice that, getting into that higher consciousness, releasing all that negativity, negative thoughts, negative emotions, and practice receiving into your heart center, and then your whole body, peace, love, and serenity. And be in that state, smiling. What am I doing now? I'm going to do an article. I think I'm going to get into. Why am I single? Why am I still single? 6 ways you could be blocking relationships. And I made a mention of this earlier when talking to the caller. And I thought I'd get into. These are all from beliefnet.com under health and family section. And it's why am I still single? And just think about these thoughts. And then we'll get into another article that's kind of related to that. Too busy. And I mentioned this. Okay, too busy. Is love on the calendar? Is sleep is barely on there? Then the answer is probably no. If the workaholic in you is taking over, now is the time to carve out mandatory rest and relaxation. Make room in life to be found. And then there's a certain honesty in that, too. And if you're making room, don't use I'm too busy as an excuse. If you're really not interested in somebody, don't hurt their feelings. Don't think you're hurting their feelings by saying, I'm too busy. Just tell them, you know what, I just don't connect with you. I just don't feel that this is what's going to work for me in a relationship. You're just not what I'm looking for, or whatever words you want to use there. But don't string somebody out by saying, I'm too busy. Men can be patient sometimes. Some men can't. Some men just say, forget about you, right? Baggage. Old relationship residue could be clogging up your chances. Try to fight the urge to discuss old relations, especially on first date. I've been guilty of this, but I've gone on dates where they talked about the relationship they had, the last man. Oh, because he did this, he did that, and blah, 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 blah. That was a turnoff, and I'm guilty of it too, so this is good for me. Don't talk about old relationships. On the first date, just have some fun. Get to know each other. Resolve issues and emotional baggage before taking the first next step. So important. Let them go. Let the old go. You know, there's always that question of, why aren't you married, or what happened in your marriage? But, you know, wait on that. See if you connect a little bit before you get into that question. Why aren't you still married? There's a ton of reasons why people aren't married. Okay? Infidelity, financial issues, and it's incompatibility. You know, we talked about the beginning of the show is change. Well, people change over time. Purposes, directions, values sometimes shift. And so staying married for a long period of time getting a divorce doesn't necessarily mean a person's bad. It just means that they changed, that things happened. Okay? So accept that. High expectations. Keep your standards. Just make sure that your expectations are realistic. Don't let your prejudgments prevent the possibility of getting to know someone. Well, you're not 6'2 to 6'4. You know what I mean? You're not in this certain narrow criteria of what you're supposed to be with me. For a man, and it's the same thing for men, and I'm probably guilty of that as much as anyone, right? So we've got to be careful with our expectations. You're looking for a really, really good connection, right? Decisive. We all have a list of what we want and don't want in a relationship. It might be time to revise and update if you seem to be continually missing the mark. So, yeah, it's that same thing, changing your expectations about a person. I guess for me, it's like, And I look at this article, go and reflect on myself first, and not just before I look at other people, help other people. So where am I? And perhaps it's where you're looking, too. And I don't think they get into that, but I'll mention that point, too. Too critical. A fault-finding attitude is the quickest way to dissolve any relationship. Do your best to overcome this if it's a recurring habit. Oh, yeah. Fault-finding. Oh, looking. Picking at little things, right? Practicing encouraging others and regularly giving praise. Yes. always don't find the fault first. Find something of value first, right? Just not ready. The truth is it might not be time yet. Enjoy singleness while working out kinks. Have fun being the best version of yourself you can possibly be. Now, let me get my point. And my point was, I'll get rid of this article. Okay. Sometimes you're looking in the wrong place. You know, if you're looking for somebody that will connect with you on a very good spiritual level, the local bar may not be the best place, right? So think in terms of, this is really important with my value systems, and this is the kind of person, this is what I love to do. I love to whatever activity. Well, maybe that's kind of the place where you're going to connect to. Like, for example, myself, I'm a very spiritual person, but I really got into cooking, especially vegan, vegetarian, you know, really carefully about my diet because of health reasons, you know, so, you know, high blood pressure tendencies, blood pressure and gout. I have to be careful what I eat. So I really want to meet somebody who is like that also. So it's where do you meet somebody, right? So I've joined a vegan cooking class. I thought, that's a group. I thought, well, that'd be fun because the value systems are very simple. So, you know, dating a person who's a foodie, who likes to go and experiment at all these kind of restaurants that aren't necessarily healthy, is not exactly good for me. But meeting somebody who wants to eat healthy and likes to cook, too, that would be perfect, right? Absolutely perfect. So it really depends on meeting somebody who shares values and interests. So where are you looking for a relationship? Where are you chasing after that relationship, right? Okay, so we talked about that. So that's cool. So it's about change, making changes in yourself first, making changes where you look, making changes about what you expect from somebody or the kind of person you want, right? Okay, let me look at another one. What's another article that I... Okay, five things men find more important than looks. Ooh. Okay. Now, I think this is a good follow-up article to the last one because it's changing perspective. For women, this is really good to look at because what do men want in a woman? Maybe you need to change a little bit about yourself. Okay. First of all, we talked about the last card. Men want women who are available, who have time for dating. That's a key one. But let's get into the other ones that they bring in. BeliefDebt.com. This is another one from that stuff. Number one, they say, is confidence. Men love a confident woman, someone that can hold their own ground when the tough gets going. When a woman is comfortable in her own skin, a man instantly becomes more attracted to you. To her. Then you meet a confident person be able to recognize their sincerity and appeal. But masculine men also want a woman who can be vulnerable to some degree, who can lean on the man a bit. And it's not necessarily financial. And I'm going to throw the money part out, okay? And say, because we get into that later in this article. But it's about emotionally strong. A man who can be emotionally in balance and emotionally strong for women can be there, can be the shoulder to cry on. The man who can be there to give you the hug, to be confident, to understand that you have confidence, but you have moments. So he can give you the hug, make you laugh, just is there for you, is your pillar when you need it. You don't need it all the time, but you need a man who can be that. Okay? That's what we're looking for. A masculine man wants to be that. He wants to be that knight. He wants to help you solve your problems when you need help. So you can't do everything. So confidence up to a point, but then men want to solve problems. They want to help. So find a man who wants to help. There for you. Honesty. That's the next one. She should be 10, but if she lies, quickly fall down in the rankings here. She could be a 10, but if she lies, she'll quickly fall down on the ranking board. Lies will cause the relationship foundation to crumble fast. And then we talk about this, even the lies at the very beginning. I'm too busy. Is that really a lie or is that honesty? Right? I'm too busy. Is that because you don't really want to date this man? He's not like the one. Or is it just, you know, oh, maybe he's okay, but, you know, I haven't got time for him. And I know that in my case, and I've met women like that, you know. So why are you out there dating? No man wants to deal with the drama that's followed by lies, nor do they want to play a guessing game during every conversation. Now, we won't get into specific lies, but it's honesty about your intentions, honesty about your words, honesty about what you feel about the other person, right? Right? Let's see if I can get to the next one. If my computer will cooperate. Sense of humor. Ooh, big one, big one. A good sense of humor can make a woman extremely more appealing to a man. If a man is going to commit to a woman and settle down, he wants to know that he'll have a good time. Comic relief is often an understated quality by women, but a good laugh can go a long way in a man's book. So do you have a great sense of humor? Do you laugh at your man's jokes? Do you find your man interesting and humorous? Or are you serious all the time? I've dated women who are serious all the time. It's like, yeah, no, humor is really important. I love humor. I love to help make people laugh. And if you're, and if I put something out there that's kind of subtle but humor, you know, the Monty Python humor or the subtle use of words, and you just kind of don't get it, don't want to laugh, well, you're done. It's done. It's, humor is really important. Yeah. Okay, let's see what the next one is, if I can get there. Oh, what is it? What are you? Yeah, it doesn't want to move there. Okay, come on. I'm getting to go to the next page. Here we go. Fine. Stability. Okay, stability. Now, this is really important, and women don't sometimes get this one. Men are more attracted to an independent woman who is self-sufficient. We don't necessarily want a woman to lean on and to mooch on. You know, if it's a good man, he doesn't. It's not it. But let me finish the article. The Leave It to Beaver days are a thing of the past. Men like the idea of equal contributions and the concept of a woman who is interested in dreaming and attaining goals. You know, it's tougher and tougher to make a living. Tougher and tougher. And unless, you know, you've got a man who's kind of like, you know, really got a lot of money, and he wants to provide for everything, that's great. That's, and we'll go back to the man who does all this, maybe not have the time for you anyway, and I don't know. If you can find him, great, but men do want a woman who's self-sufficient, has their own, has developed her own career, has her own income, has her own background. Not that we want to mooch off of her, but we want that stability, that balance in a relationship. So, important points, very important points in a relationship. Okay, so we had fun with that one. Yes. So it's about change, changing one's attitude. Okay, then I have another one. The changing attitude is about relationships. And I got into a lot about, let me see if there's another one. There's another one I wanted to. Let's just do this one. Okay, where are you? Come back here. I know. There's another article I was going to read. Oh, no. Not that one. Not that one. Not that one. Where are you? Okay, it's the infidelity quiz. Is your partner cheating? And I thought this was interesting. And it's about change, changing in relationships and seeing the changes in relationships, right? I'm hearing a lot about relationships today, and I have to agree with most of this, or have a point of view on most of this. Most men who cheat, this is a quiz, so play with it a little bit, it's from WebMD, most men who cheat are unhappy in their marriage, true or false. Now, the obvious answer is true. Oh, if they're unhappy in their marriage, blah, 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 right? But I believe the answer is false. The answer is false. 56% of men who had affairs were happy in their marriage, according to the study by Helen Fisher, PhD, a biological anthropologist at Rutgers University and the author of Why Him, Why Her, and Why We Love. By comparison, only 34% of women who had affairs were happy or very happy in their marriage. Men are more likely to give sexual motivations for infidelity, and less likely to fall in love with an extramarital partner. So we're dogs, basically. You know? We're chasing tail, really. Okay, I know I'm taking that very graphically, but it's true. Men are just basically dogs, especially younger men. Now, should you forgive them? That's really up to you. Okay, Dr. Fisher says, women are more interested in supplementing their marriage or jumping ship than men are. For men, it is a secondary strategy opposed to an alternative. So it's about sex. It's about a physical attraction to women. Ooh, I don't know. And what do you think? That's science or studies show that men don't necessarily, you know, well, a lot of countries, men have mistresses. They're happy with their families. They're happy with their wives. But they just like a little variety and spice in their lives. I'm not justifying their behavior. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what statistics show. It's a reality check, right? So why is your partner cheating? Okay, next question is, women are more likely than men to give which of the following reasons for infidelity? Revenge, sexual novelty, sexual frequency, loneliness. I would say loneliness. I would give loneliness as the answer. Let me see if I'm right. Loneliness, expert. I read this a long time ago, so I'm just trying to recall the answers, and some of the answers I get are based on experience, too. Experts say that most often men and women have different reasons for being unfaithful. Men search for more sex for attention, and women look to fill an emotional void. So he doesn't pay attention to me enough. He's busy. He's working all the time. He's out with his friends. He doesn't show me enough attention, you know, affection, that sort of attention. Men are different. And it says men or sex or attention. Men want recognition for what they're doing. Men want a woman to say, a man tries to experience, I'm building this boat, dear, why don't you take a look at it? It's really beautiful. I think I've gotten a really pretty, that's his hobby, but the woman who I'm busy right now. I'm reading my book. I'm watching the show. Yeah, you know, that's maybe another time. That's what upsets men. When we feel that we're conquering something, we're completing something, we're interested in something, and the woman isn't interested in what we're doing, then we seek somebody who will be interested in what we're doing. We're working on the car. Well, I got this car running really well. Come look, dear. Come look. I got this thing. Got this upholstery done. You know, whatever it is the man loves to do. You know, I built this thing. What do you think? And the woman kind of dishes him in a little bit. Yeah, you know, maybe another time. But whatever. You know, I'm busy. Men look for attention because they're not getting that appreciation from a woman. That, whoa, honey, that's really cool. You know, that kind of, yeah, to really be interested in what he's doing. And in women, it's an emotional attention. So women tend to have an emotional connection with their lover and seem more likely to have an affair because of loneliness. So we're different. Men and women are different. There are different attractions, different needs. Infidelity is the leading cause of divorce, true or false. I say false to that. False. Although infidelity is the main reason unmarried couples are living together, split up. Aha. Yes. They haven't made a commitment, right? The same is not true of married couples. Married couples often cite being incompatible and unable to communicate as their cause of divorce. And I would say that in my case, that was probably the case. Incompatible. We grew different directions. We lost interest in the same goals and directions in life. And that's why we divorced. And I think it was a little bit of the second one where, you know, hey, dear, I got all this thing. I want to share something with you. And, you know, I'm reading, you know, I'm watching my show. You know, leave me alone. So we look for somebody else. Not that I cheated. I didn't. But I left it open to, hey, there's somebody else out there that would be interested in what I'm doing, right? So it's becoming incompatible. It's not showing interest in each other and lack of communication. What percentage of husbands say that they've had sex outside their marriage? 15%, 25%, 36%, or 52%? I think it's on the low end. And, you know, people talk about this, and TV kind of blows this out of proportion in movies, but I think it's like maybe 25% at the most. The answer is 25%. remembers this stuff. Statistics from the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy suggest that 25% of husbands report having sex outside of their marriage. Now, it may be higher because some men don't want to mention it, but an emotional affairs or sexual intimacy without intercourse, such as kissing, are included. The number jumps to 45%. So, you know, we get attracted to other women. We find some women attractive. We may stop. Whoa, okay, we're at second base, and that's as far as I can go because I'm married. Okay. What percentage of wives say they've had sex outside of marriage? 15, 25, 36, or 52%. I would say that would bump down to 15% for women. I don't think it's any higher than that. So it's 15%. Statistics that from the same organization, the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy, say that only 15% of wives report having sex outside of their marriage. Like men, the number goes up when you include emotional affairs or things like kissing. 35% of women admit to that. You know, the office kind of flirtatious, you know, the little hug, the little kiss, and then you realize, oops, can't go there. Got to leave the attraction. Because we can get attracted to a lot of people. That's easy to do, to get attracted to somebody. To let, ooh, maybe this is my soulmate. Ooh, maybe. Okay, next one. If you think your partner is cheating, you should discuss it with them, even if you don't have concrete evidence. I would say false with that. I wouldn't go there. Oops, the answer is true. Ooh, okay. And I've read different things on this. So experts say it's important to discuss concerns about infidelity early, even if you have no clear proof that your partner is having an affair. Whether or not it happened, the couple has to work to do on their trust and communication so they can move forward in their relationship. And what about spying on your partner? Don't do it. You may be able to prove there was an affair, but never prove there wasn't. And you'll destroy the trust and communication you need to have a good relationship. I'm probably referring to the second part, you know, getting all in, you know, hire a private investigator to chase you around all day because I think you're having an affair. Now, that's a good question. How do you bring it up? How do you discuss that? Think you're having an affair, I would bring it up as a problem. Here's my problem here. I don't feel we're communicating. I feel like we're both distracted. We're not communicating. We're not our intimacy level. So can you help me understand why that's a problem? And let the man solve the problem. What's the problem here? And maybe out of guilt or whatever, he'll bring up the answer or the solution. Highly educated people are more likely to have affairs, and I believe that's true. Oh, false. Okay. A National Marriage Project study found that highly educated people are less likely to be unfaithful than their less educated peers. In 2000, 13% with a college education that they had sex outside their marriage, compared to 19% of those who were moderately educated and 21% of those with least education, high school dropouts. I'm sure there's a really logic to that. There's a lot of factors, not just about love. It could be too busy. You know, okay, whatever. Okay. Okay. Let me check with you guys because I'm having fun with this and I hope you are too. You're enjoying this. It's an interesting discussion about relationships, about change. Oh, I got a few minutes left. Let me finish the rest of the quiz. Ooh. A woman is least likely to be faithful if her income is equal to her husband, greater than her husband. A woman is least likely to be unfaithful if her income is equal to her husband's, greater than her husband's, slightly less than her husband's, much less than her husband's. I would say much less, and I'll give you a reason why I believe. Yeah, the answer is much less. The Cornell University study on income infidelity found that women are least likely to stray when they depend on their husband's income. Yeah, you know, that financial hook. If I cheat, he's going to divorce me and I'm going to left with nothing. They may have fewer opportunities to cheat and may decide it isn't worth it because their livelihood may be at risk. So women who have equal or more money than her husband may be more likely to cheat is what they're basically saying. because of the other needs are not being met, and it's not a financial thing. The financial thing is like, a man is more likely to cheat if his wife is the main breadwinner. That's a good question, right? What do you think? A man is more likely to cheat if his wife is the main breadwinner. I would say true, and I have my own weird reasons for that. The answer is true. The same Cornell University study found that men who were completely dependent on their wives' income were 5 times more likely to cheat than men who contributed equally. It's not just money, though. When age, education level, income, religious attendance, and relationship satisfaction were taken into account, there wasn't any difference between men who depended on their wives' income and those who didn't. And it's about manhood. It's about a feeling of being the man. So that's my opinion. I'll stick with my opinion. If your wife is making a lot more money than you, you can come with the attitude, I got to prove my manhood somehow, some way, and having an affair could get there, right? So it's about a reassurance, and it's about communication. The wife's making a lot more money. The man needs to feel valued, that he's contributing to the relationship in some way. And not necessarily doing things he doesn't like, right? We went the wrong direction here. Okay, wait a minute. I think I went the wrong direction. Okay, so the question is, man is more likely to cheat if he's the main breadwinner, and the answer is true. Ironically, the same Cornell University found that men who are bringing home most of the household's income are also likely to cheat. Men were least likely to cheat when their partners made about 75% of their income. It's, again, we'll get into all the reasons, and then it just doesn't matter what the reasons are. A lot of times men just get some arrogance and egotism whatever, I can do what I want, right? It could be a sign that your partner's cheating or thinking about it if they change how they look, give you gifts, constantly criticize you, do all of the above. I would say all of the above, okay? Ta-da, all of the above. Experts say that partners who cheat often begin paying more attention to their appearance. Ooh, got it looking good, you know? I got to go out there and looking good. Got to lose a little weight. Got to update my wardrobe a little bit, right? Okay, the movies play that one out really well. Criticizing their partners or giving them unsolicited gifts. When one partner is constantly critical, he or she may be setting up the other partner to be the one at fault, okay? A partner who gives gifts may be feeling guilty. Those obvious answers to that. Yeah, so if your husband or boyfriend is doing any of those, you kind of wonder, what's going on there? Can you go to jail for cheating? In which one of these states? South Carolina, Minnesota, Michigan, all of the above. I would say South Carolina. It might be all of the above, but I'm just going to throw South Carolina out there. All of the above. Ooh, laws adultery remained on the books in many states. Of course, they were rarely enforced. So, Minnesota, Michigan, South Carolina are three states. If you're an adulterer, I don't know about Michigan. You can go to jail. What? Have you locked away? Your husband can have her locked away. Genetic testing can help determine how likely your partner is to cheat. Now, I have no clue on this one. I'm going to go with true just out of curiosity. I have no idea. True. Oh, it's not proof, and genetics aren't destiny, but there is some evidence that genes link to sensation-seeking behaviors such as drinking alcohol or gambling may also be associated with sexual promiscuity. And infidelity, the study focused on the DRD4 gene, which is associated with reward and feeling good. People with a variation of that gene more likely to commit infidelity or be promiscuous. 50% of the people with the variation reported being unfaithful, compared to 22% of people who didn't have the variation. So if you're going to get married, let's do some gene testing here. Let's see you have this DRD4 gene, and see if you got that one going on here, because you're going to most likely cheat, right? I don't know if you want to go to that extreme. Okay. What's the best way to heal a relationship after infidelity, according to experts? Temporary separation, individual psychology, joint couples therapy, anger management. It could be any of those, really, to some degree, but let's see what they say. The experts say, and I would guess, joint couples therapy, because you need to work this out with a neutral party, right? Joint couples therapy. The first priority of couples coping with infidelity could be trusting again. This means best if they seek help together. While seeking an individual therapist also may help, but it could build a wall of secrecy and privacy between them and lead to further alienation. Now, that's interesting. I would say that if you're going to go to couples therapy together, meet with a couple, a man and wife, two partners, male and female together. So there's four of you, really. Because I went to couples counseling, and it was a woman, and I felt like I was being ganged up on. And a lot of men, and it could be the other way around for the woman. If it's a male, they may feel they're being ganged up on by the two males. So if it would be good to do couples counseling with a couple. Then you see the male and female dynamics and playing off each other. Or perhaps, you know, there's other alternatives to that. But it's you have to find somebody that you're both very comfortable with. And there's this need for private meetings, individual private meeting with a counselor before you do it as a couple, so that you're both really comfortable with the person, be it male or female, so that you don't feel like there's ganging up on. Because I went there with the ganging up I thought was the ganging up on me. Can't go there, right? Can't leave that one alone. Well, I had fun today. What do you guys think? 2 o'clock now, this time of the day, or earlier in the day? When would you rather hear the show? I'm kind of leaning towards afternoons because I'm thinking I'm going to play a whole different audience and maybe more people are available, especially on the East Coast after 5. It's like almost 6 o'clock back there. So I'm thinking maybe this is a better time. I don't know. I'm going to get response from folks and see who listens to the show. So give me your input. What do you think? This time or earlier in the morning? So it would be 3 hours earlier than this or now. So if I can help you individually, with soul answers, soul readings, I do a guided meditation, which is to help you to get to that place of, as we did the meditation earlier, dealing with those negative energies and negative emotions and negative thought patterns and replacing them with positive emotions, positive thought patterns, and work with you. And it really gets back to some of your beliefs, from childhood on. I really believe strongly that a lot of the stuff we do is based on what happened to us up to about age 7 or 8 or somewhere in that time frame, because we're kind of little sponges then. We suck it all in, all those beliefs that we picked up along the way. So if I can help you individually, I'd love to be able to do that. And then I do use my intuitive skills, my channeling abilities, let Spirit talk to you about all of this, guide you through this process. I think I have an advantage over some hypnotherapists or people who lead meditation, because I do rely on Spirit to guide me through this process, to help you. It's like calling on the spirit of Carl Jung, the great therapist in the past, or whatever, whoever. Spirit guides those who have seen millions and billions of people and, lives and have really good opinions on this, not just my opinions. That's what I'd like to do, help you. So if you want a session, if you want a channeled session where my spirit guides talk to you about your problems, what you need in life, where you're going, how to get there, please contact me through my Blog Talk Radio page, my website, my Facebook page. And if you haven't joined me on Facebook, please do. I post a lot of the articles there. So I will be back tomorrow. Kind of going with intuitively what time is better. It probably will be in the afternoon. It'll be about this time again tomorrow, because the plumber said they're coming back tomorrow morning. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm relying on the plumber again tomorrow, right? Okay, so it's been fun. I had a good time. I kind of like what I talked about today. I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. Contact me. Let me know. You can go to my website, and if you want to contribute to the show and to what I do, there's a thing on there for like $5, but you can contribute less than that through PayPal. for me, people who contribute to the show indicates to me that you appreciate the show a little bit more. Yeah. So I appreciate that. I thank you very much for listening. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful evening. And it's been fun. I love you guys.